This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight, we have a really serious topic. We're going to be discussing military suicides. Now, I know you don't want to talk about it because there's a lot of stuff going on, and we don't want our military people to be committing suicide, but it's going on and it's increasing. There were more active duty veterans, 177, that succumbed to suicide than were killed in combat. And that's pretty bad. More suicides than were killed in combat. 176. The Army suffered 52% of the suicides from all branches. In 2013, the VA released a study that covered suicides from 1999 to 2010, which showed that roughly 22 veterans were dying by suicide per day, or one every 65 minutes. And you can say there's one an hour. That's too many. That's too many. According to a report released this week by the Defense Suicide Prevention Office, 139 active duty soldiers, 68 sailors, 60 airmen, and 58 Marines died by suicide last year. 40 more service members than the previous year. This figure is higher than the sum of deaths reported by the individual services in January and exceeds the previous record of 321 in 2012. The Army in 2017 saw 114 deaths by suicide. The Navy, 65. And the Marine Corps, 43. Only the Air Force saw a decline in suicide from the previous year. In 2017, it had 63. An analysis of Defense Department suicides in 2017 published this year found that roughly half of those who completed suicide that year had a known mental health problem. And half had contact with the military health system within 90 days of their deaths. Most were males, 90%, and white, 81%. And more than half had a history of deployment, 57%. So it's a real serious issue of our military. They're running into a lot of problems. We don't know what's going on, what they see, how they feel. but something's going on. The suicide rate for active duty United States military members in 2018 was the highest on record since the Defense Department began tracking self-inflicted deaths in 2001. The official said Thursday that 2018's rate of 24.8 deaths per 100,000 service members is comparable to age and gender adjusted civilian rates, but added that fact is hardly comforting given that the numbers aren't moving in the right direction. They're moving up as opposed to down. The 2018 annual suicide report confirms that 325 active duty personnel took their own lives last year, up from 285 in 2017 and 280 the previous year. That's really sad. That's really sad. According to the report, the National Guard, which experienced 135 suicides in 2018, had the highest suicide rate among the three components, including the reserves. Wow. Its rate of 30.6 per 100,000 was higher than the civilian rate when adjusted for age and gender. This is really a problem. It's a problem, and I don't know. I don't know. How do you attempt to fix it? We don't want our men and women going to war and coming back and killing themselves. Of course, we don't know what they're seeing. We're at home in our nice, safe homes, and they're out there fighting for our freedom. And what they see, what they hear, and we know it's not good because some of them, when they come home, they have lost limbs. I mean, a lot of them lose a lot. And then a lot of them come home with PTSD. But you can get PTSD from anything. It doesn't necessarily belong to the military. But for tonight, we're talking about the military and suicides. And the Pentagon has long struggled to address the problem of suicides in the ranks, attacking the issue with renewed fervor in 2012 when the number of deaths 319 and the rate 22.7 per 100,000 were the highest since the DOD began tracking the data following the 9/11 attacks. Defense Secretary Mark Esper said Wednesday that the current trend is a result of being caught up in what some call a national epidemic of suicide among our youth. And not just our youth, but it's something we continue to wrestle with, he said, speaking to reporters following a visit to Norfolk, Virginia, where investigators were looking into the deaths of three sailors assigned to the aircraft carrier George H.W. Bush. Pentagon officials speaking Thursday did not try to explain why service members die by suicide, but said the data is needed to better understand behaviors and create programs to prevent the deaths. And that's something we really should be trying to do, prevent deaths. And I read somewhere that a lot of servicemen have taken up the hobby of cultivating bees. As we know, we need bees for a lot of different things. But a lot of military people are taking that up, and that's a good thing. Something to get your mind off what you've seen or what you've heard. I have a friend who has a son that has PTSD, and he says that he can't sleep at night because of what he's seen or heard. And that's really bad. You can't sleep because it's always running through your head. How do you get rid of it? How do you get away from what happened, from what you've seen? How do you let it go? I mean, if you're in Vietnam where they train their children to kill, and you run across a child who has a weapon, and you know that that child has been trained to kill, and you have to kill the child, or the child will kill you. How does that affect a person? How can it not affect a person? I don't know. I don't know. So right now I'm going to take a break, and then we'll come back. And I want to hear your opinions. What do you think about military personnel committing suicide? So many that they say it's almost like one an hour. Not a day, an hour. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
My name is Sheila White. I am the president and co-founder of Her Cries Are Heard, an organization that focuses on preventing violence against females. One in three women have been victims of physical abuse or violence by an intimate partner or non-partner within their lifetime. 94% of women killed by men were murdered by someone they knew. Violence can affect a woman's physical and mental health and also negatively affect her children. In 1991, my sister was murdered by her husband. And in 2013, my niece was murdered by a man who followed her home from a party. Being a victim of violence is devastating to the victim and the victim's family. Help us to help you. Help us to prevent this from happening to you or someone you love. Please look at our website, www.hercriesareheard.org, for the prevention tools and referrals to help save lives.
This is Jacqueline Jones Frederick of Jones & Frederick Enterprises, Inc. This incorporation consists of a tutoring business, a tutoring staffing, and a traveling business. We have serviced the community since 2007. Our clients are third graders to college students. We tutor in all academic subjects. Please call Jacqueline at 586-306-5487.
We'll be right back after these messages.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back and we're talking about suicides tonight. And now we're talking about firearms, which is being said that they're the most common method of suicide, with 60% of active duty personnel, 62% of reserve members, and nearly 70% of National Guardsmen taking their own lives with a gun. I'm assuming that the gun is the closest thing that they have with them. And that, I don't know, it's more convenient, I would think. They would probably think it would do the job quickly. And the officers say that since suicide is often an impulsive decision, which means that the people that are committing suicide aren't thinking about it. But I don't know if that's true, because some think about it, I don't know, for a while. Like young people going to school being bullied, and they go home and take their lives. I don't think that's impulsive. I think that they think about it and they don't want to go through that situation. So the department is developing initiatives on safe storage of lethal means, including firearms and medications. And that's another thing. Young people may not be an avenue for guns. Well, maybe they do. Maybe they found mama's gun or daddy's gun and they use that, but they can use medication. Most parents have some sort of medication in the home and the child can easily have access to it. One of the initiatives they say that they're working toward is chaplains providing counseling on access to lethal means training, in addition to other gatekeepers. So, the Army, the largest military service, had the highest number of active duty suicides in 2018 with 139. Oh boy. But the smallest military service, the Marine Corps, actually had the highest rate. Its 58 deaths resulted in a rate of 31.4 per 100,000, higher than the National Guard's overall rate. The Navy saw 68 deaths in 2018. The Air Force had 60 deaths. I don't know. So they're not addressing suicide, but they're trying. They want to have an open dialogue about stress and wellness and educating Marines and family members to recognize and reduce the risk factors associated with suicide. You have to be aware of what's going on with your military person. Just like we talk about physical fitness, marksmanship, training, and education, Marines must also be comfortable discussing life struggles, mental wellness, and suicide. We must create a community where seeking help and assistance are simply normal, important decisions Marines and sailors make. Someone wrote a suicide note and said it was a message to the Navy. The way he died was the exclamation point. They don't say what he said. But I don't know. Maybe it's something going on in the service. Maybe it's not combat. I don't know. Suicide is the leading cause of death in the Air Force, and we are committed to considering any action that provides hope for preventing suicide. Previous reports released by the DoD indicate that deployments, even those in support of combat operations, do not increase suicide risk. Another misconception about military suicides is that mental illness plays a role. I don't know. This is not true in our military or civilian population. So I don't know. Okay. I have a question or a comment. Okay, Miss, you're on.
And how are you this evening, Miss Jenny White?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I was trying to figure out and listening to you. Have a lot of these suicides we're talking about, have they seen any form of combat versus just being in the military and going through basics and all of that? At what point did they commit suicide? Have they been through something real strenuous, like seeing some type of combat, maybe in Iraq, all in those areas, Syria, all of that? But it wasn't the fact that they went through basic and it was too much for them or whatever. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Did they give any type of indication? Have they seen any type of combat?
It doesn't say,
because a lot of people
go
into the service.
But it does say that the Defense Department released its first ever findings of suicides among military family members. According to the report, there were 186 suicides among spouses and dependents in 2017. The suicide rate for spouses was 11.5 per 100,000 population, with the rate being 29.4 per 100,000 for male spouses. So that's crazy. And 9.1 per 100,000 for female spouses. The rate of suicide among military dependents younger than 23 was 3.8 per 100,000 for males. The rate was 5.2 and 9.3 for men and boys under age 23. So this is kind of, it's an epidemic.
It is, yeah.
I mean, now the family members, the children, wow.
It is, to think about it, yeah. Because I was wondering, had any of them seen any type of, you know, situations, you know,
possibly, not sure. It might be from, like it was saying, that this one suicide victim wrote a note to the Navy. So I don't know what was going on with that.
Been a lot of times people going to the service as a means of, you know, being taken care of, and they find out it's not quite what they thought it was going to be. And then, but then they find it's very difficult to get out of the service. And with the special strain of the teaching and, you know, that they have to go through basics and things of that nature. And they were like, almost like basket cases when they got in there in the first place. I was thinking of that too.
I remember Valerie saying that she almost lost her son just in the basic training that they start off with.
Yeah.
She almost lost him during that particular time. So I don't know, but I had no idea that suicide for spouses and dependents was kind of bad. And the suicide rate was highest for divorced troops, those who worked in administrative, mechanical, or electrical repair roles, and those who had never been deployed. So, I don't know. I guess when you come back, you're a different person. I can see that. I can see that. I was. Yes. And
I have had to face, and the decisions you've had to make, life and death situations you've been, you know, a part of. I can see that too. And then you have to have some type of foundational hope in your life in the first place. You know, I'm not just, you know.
Well, do you remember? Do you remember years ago? I think they said that you either. How did they have it? You would either, if you were caught doing something, you were to go to jail, or if you didn't go to jail, you had to go to the Army. Do you remember anything like that years ago?
I think so, yeah. They used to put that, how they put them in service, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that, yeah.
So that's kind of a situation. You know, throw somebody in the service. I mean, it might man them up as, you know, they want them to do, but I don't know. They may not have wanted, but they didn't want to go to jail.
That's true, yeah.
So which one is the lesser of the two evils?
Of two evils.
You stay in jail and deal with the other inmates, or you go to the service. I don't know. I don't know. But it's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking? Would have been interesting comparison and contrast. During the World Wars, you know, back then, a couple of generations back, was suicide then a big issue among the troops during that time? Do a comparison and contrast. To see if it was a big issue during that time.
You know, I don't think they counted it back then. I don't think they started counting until it got to be an issue.
Yeah.
So way back then, you know,
it
may not have been that many. I don't know.
Yeah. Then you have to look at the fact that back in the wars, the fabric of our society was different. There was a more of a, I'm not going to say, we know, but a more more steady fabric within our community. The way we taught our kids, the way we raised them. That might have an awful lot to do with it, too.
Well, you know, it's a whole lot.
We talk about the problems that we had to face just coming up, and we had to learn to deal with that. And as you get older, things become more and more and more intense.
Yeah.
Even that.
Yeah.
It becomes even more so.
I don't know.
Were they saying there was more women committing suicide than the men, or what?
It was less women, but they were still doing it.
Yeah, less women. Okay, then.
I knew a young lady years ago, and I had asked her if she saw a difference in her husband after he came back from the service. And she said, yes, I don't remember everything she said, but this one thing stuck in my mind because she said that from after he got back, he couldn't sit with his back to the door.
Uh-huh.
He would always have to sit facing the door. And I found that really interesting. Because you don't, I guess he has to be alert all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There are a lot of people committing suicide, and they're not all military. But tonight we're
true,
just,
yeah.
We're talking.
On the military. Trying to focus on that.
Yeah, that's what.
It's an important issue.
I think so.
It's a very important issue, yeah.
Because we have so many people in the military. As a matter of fact, I have a granddaughter who's a Marine, and now she's going to be what? She's going to be a captain. Now, I don't think that she's going to have to go to or be deployed. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess you just have to wait and see. But she did go in. I don't think she's active duty.
Uh-huh.
As in terms of fighting, I don't know, but she loves it, so that makes a difference. Makes a difference. So a lot of them do, but it's still what they see. I just, every time I think about what they go through, what they have to go through, and they come back pieces of what they used to be. You know, they're not the same. They're never the same. I guess no one would be the same.
No.
After, I don't know. I don't know. Some of them get discharged because of physical and mental conditions. Some of them get kicked out.
Yeah.
And this particular person said they got kicked out and they never told anybody. They never told anybody.
Yeah. Just what is the issue here?
Right. He said, once upon a time, I was a photojournalist for the United States Navy, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I just wanted to get out. I wanted to get away from my abusive family. I wanted to forget everything that ever happened. I wanted to wipe the slate clean and start over. And honestly, I didn't have any options. Based on the circumstances, the Navy seemed like the best deal a girl like me could get. I was emancipated at 16 and lived with a foster family until I left for the Navy. After a year of mandated family therapy and social services raiding our house with counselors, my parents released custody rights of me and I moved out. I considered college, but it was too expensive. I didn't have buku money, and nobody else was paying for it. A military recruiter came to our high school, and I jumped up. how awesome it was to join the Navy. See the world, get your college paid for, make lifelong friends. It's the opportunity of a lifetime. It got me thinking. I was curious. I walked into the recruitment office and asked for more information. Before I knew it, I was taking a test to measure my skill set. From there, we would see what jobs I could qualify for. Photojournalist? That's a rare job to get and one of the best, he said. I could be a photojournalist for the United States Navy and get paid for it. I could literally see the world and just take photos and write stories. There weren't many positions available for photojournalists. All I would have to do is sign up. So I did. Fast forward 2 years later, I was stationed on an aircraft. There were over 5,000 people cramped in this massive floating mental tank. And we just received news that we were going on a 6-month deployment for Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Oh, yeah.
My heart raced at hearing the news. I had never been on a deployment and had no idea what to expect. Only horror stories. We had 2 weeks to pack our life up, surrender our apartments, and be ready to ship out. The day came and we just left bright and early. Families cried and hearts were broken. Sailors lined up around the ship and the captain announced we were underway. And so began our journey into the abyss. I felt confused, excited, optimistic. But my colleagues knew better. The journey to the Persian Gulf was gruesome and painful. Every day it got hotter and more humid. My skin broke out in hives. People were complaining and wondering if we'd ever see land again. We practiced different drills for potential war threats. Our pilots flew nonstop every day. If they were working, the entire ship was working. Missiles were carefully and tediously moved across the ship. I remember asking my chief when we got a day off. She laughed and said, "There's no days off on deployment." A wave of sadness sunk in my heart. Reality set in. This is what people meant by horror. 56 days had passed before we had touched land. We were antsy, anxious, and due for some freedom. It was our little rainbow of hope. Dubai was our first stop. We had a few days to enjoy ourselves, which meant getting as messed up as possible, having relations with whoever, and figuring out our way back to the ship sober and in one piece. We still had 4 more months to go, and rumors were going around the deployment that deployment might get extended. The going out was one way to enjoy deployment, but mainly a way to numb the dread and the depression. After Dubai, I started to get really depressed. I was burnt out from the nonstop, long, hot working days. It felt like the same day was on a loop, repeating over and over and over. We would escape our office just to go take 10-minute sunshine breaks. I felt trapped. I felt like a prisoner, even though I had signed up. The recruiters failed to mention the agony of joining the military. No, they don't fail to mention. They just don't tell you. Because if they do, you won't sign up. Many sailors were extremely depressed and suicidal, including me. There was a term for people who try to jump ship, man overboard. If someone jumped ship, they'd call, man overboard, go to your stations. And we would do a head count of the entire ship until we found the missing person. Halfway through deployment, we had many man overboards. I wanted to jump ship, but didn't have the guts. Instead, I turned to cutting. My thoughts got darker. I wanted to kill myself. Inside, I felt like I was dying already. There's something about deployment that can take you to the edge of darkness. And for some of us, we just jump. The military doesn't make it safe for us to get help. It was a risk. If you saw a psychiatrist, you faced the chance of getting discharged. The biggest fear was getting a dishonorable discharge. If this happened, you'd lose all your benefits, your college money, your veteran health care. So many enlisted personnel avoid getting help because really, you don't get it. You get kicked out. I saw the psychiatrist and shortly after was kicked out for being suicidal. I lost all my benefits and got an other than honorable discharge. This was basically a slap in the face to my time and service. I was devastated. I lost all of the benefits I could have received for my service. I tried going back to school, but it was too expensive to take out loans. I had no health care. I was just thrown back into society with nothing. I carried shame for getting kicked out and for getting a discharge I didn't deserve. I never told anyone for years. I felt ashamed for my depressive episode. I felt ashamed for getting out earlier than I was supposed to. I felt like a fraud, and I was furious. They threw a mentally ill woman out of the Navy without support or tools. All I got was a shitty debriefing seminar on why you shouldn't leave the military because life as a civilian was too hard. Thanks, but no thanks. After I got out, I appealed my discharge and submitted evidence of my outstanding work ethic to the United States Navy. It took about a year, but one day I got a letter in the mail. The United States Navy responded and approved my appeal. My discharge was changed from other than honorable to honorable. All right. I got all of my benefits back. I went to college and graduated with a bachelor's degree in psychology. I still seek therapy. It has been a long journey. Why do I tell the story? Because the military abandons their people once they are discharged. There isn't enough support offered to veterans once they do their time. And if you get kicked out with a shitty discharge, you are messed up.
Yeah.
They say another word, but anyway. According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, nearly one in four active duty members showed signs of a mental health condition. According to a 2014 study in JAMA Psychiatry, they don't make it safe for enlisted personnel to get treatment while being in the military. And then there are no programs offered to veterans who get other than honorable discharges. So we have mentally ill veterans walking the streets suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and all kinds of concerns. This isn't the right way to treat humans who give their time and energy to serve our country. Being in the military is no joke. It is hard, tough, and takes serious commitment. The United States Government Accountability Office shared in a report that some of the barriers veterans face in seeking mental health treatment are personal embarrassment about service-related mental disabilities, long wait times to receive mental health treatment, shame over needing to seek mental health treatment. And I've heard that before about the military, the VA. Fear of being seen as weak, shame over needing to seek mental health treatment, stigma associated with mental health issues, a lack of understanding or lack of awareness about mental health problems and treatment options. I know that I was too scared and ashamed. We need to make it safe for personnel to get support and proper mental health treatment. I know my friend's husband told her that if he got sick or anything, do not take him to the VA. And that's what he told her. I've always heard that they're not really good. We need to remove the stigma and shame around needing support. What people see in the military isn't normal. Sometimes they go in and they come back never the same. I think that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that is true, yeah.
They need more support and more treatment besides a nice vacation after deployments are over. We need more treatment programs in the military and post-military. We don't need just one day out of the year to honor our servicemen and women. Memorial Day is a joke compared to the real suffering that is happening. Oh, wow. Yes, it's a joke compared to the real suffering that's happening. My request and hope that by telling my story, there will be some light shed on the dysfunctional system and treatment provided to enlisted personnel and veterans. Give them what they deserve, time, service, and support. They gave it to you. Wow.
That is interesting.
That was really interesting. Put your butt on a boat for almost 2 months.
Yeah.
And when you say man overboard, it's man overboard. I guess that's where that phrase comes from. They can't take it. They can't take it. That is sad. And then they kicked her out. Got kicked out. But the good news is she fought. She fought.
Uh-huh.
And she got her benefits back. So she didn't say how she was doing now. Hopefully she's seeing a psychiatrist or getting some kind of help. But isn't that something?
You go in expecting
one thing and you end up being disappointed. Wow.
You know what? I had heard also that for a lot of people coming from Africa, not to say, but just crossing the water, just black people crossing the water, they would tell them a lot of times, put them in some type of chain, because the magnitude of crossing, seeing no land or anything, it would really work on them. And a lot of times they would just stop, you know, whatever was going on in their mind. They would go and they would jump into the water and commit suicide because they weren't used to seeing all that water. They used to seeing land. And just the fact that all this water and no land, it produced, makes them feel hopeless.
Well,
so
you know.
They would say, put them in chains or, you know, lock them up someplace on the boat.
They put them in chains because the slaves didn't want to leave their homes.
Ooh, that's
and
true.
Be
but
out there on that
person.
Water.
You know, now we have cruises and things like that. You get used to seeing the water. So, but before then, no. They couldn't stand the fact that you see all this water and no land.
And then to look at how they were chained together. And look how they were treated. You couldn't get up and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you had to do right there, chained to somebody else. And then you had to lie there in that filth.
That's true. Until it started affecting the crew during the slave, it started all the problems that it created. It started making the crew sick. So then they started letting them come up and, you know, take care of their business and stuff and try to keep the bottom of the ship clean for their own benefit.
Well,
that happened.
They still dogged them out once they got them to land.
Oh, yeah, they did. That's true. They did. Yeah. When you think about how our young people are, I was thinking about how our young people are raised now. You know, since we've got taken it like we've been through so much, so we try to make it easier for them. But in making it easier for them, when it comes down to something hard and more challenging, they can't handle it.
They don't know
you
how
know,
to
they can't
yeah,
adapt
deal
it, yeah.
with it.
Mm-hmm. Adapt to so many things, yeah. And just live by faith and not by sight. If he got me this far, he's going to take me further. But they don't see it that way. Well,
no.
We try to give them everything, you know, make it easy for them. And maybe it wasn't a good way to raise a person. I was thinking of that, too. They're talking about the younger generation.
Well, I thank God my boys, my young men, didn't go to the service.
Yeah, my brother went. And he talked about basic training. As how hard it was, he said, but he did what his instructor said. And then he said, one thing I noticed about when he came home after basic, he was smoking. And he never smoked before. They said they'd help you toughen up. They would, you know, give you a cigarette, smoke a cigarette. Here, go out and drink some beer, you know, whatever. You know, other things that he had to do, you know. But he really wasn't that way, you know. Because he had been raised differently. Yeah.
Change you. It changed you.
Yeah.
I'm glad, like I said, that my young men didn't go. I remember I came home from work one day and my oldest son had someone in there talking to him about joining the military. But his mother wasn't having that.
Well,
so, she
wasn't having that.
Right. Well, you know, we're going to have to pray for our military people and their families. Because I had no idea that spouses and younger children were committing suicide as well. Because when they come home, I can see they're different people. I can see that they can be different people, that it might be harder for the wife and the children. So, you know, it's a whole lot in the world that we don't know.
We don't know. And see, we come from even here, it's easier than maybe a person raised in the parts of Africa where you have to scavenger ride for every scavenger. You have to really go after getting a meal a day, you know.
Yeah.
I noticed that when I worked for Detroit Rescue Mission Ministries, a lot of the people who came from Africa as adults came here. They were different as far as they would, the way they worked, the way they handled things. We would just sit down and say we were just depressed. We weren't doing anything. No. They would get up and try. They would take the classes that we offered. They would get up and do their chores early in the morning. If they have to get a job, they would find some kind of job to do. And they did all of it. And they weren't always complaining and things of that nature. They still had that spirit of go get it. Get it. Get it. No matter if they're coming off drugs, they would go at it, you know, really work at it, you know. Where here, raised here, there was, well, I'm depressed. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, I don't like this. I wasn't good at school. All these excuses. And we had literally had to make them get up and go before the review board if you weren't doing what you were supposed to. Very seldom did we have a person that was raised in Africa who maybe got into trouble here, went through the Detroit Rescue Mission Ministry. They would go on and do it, you know, do what you tell them to. Work at it harder. Instead of just taking it, you know, I'm depressed, I don't want to get up out of bed, I don't want to this and that, all of this stuff. They were still trying to reach and grab at life, you know, take hold of life, instead of just giving up like that. It is a difference of what they face, how they're raised and things of that. I believe that's a big cause of it.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
They face. We can do all this talk. We're on this side of the you know, the fighting.
That's
they
true.
Had to go out.
That's true.
It is.
Yeah.
That is, yeah.
But
so thanks
those
very
recruiters.
Much
those recruiters,
yeah, they make it
try to
life,
make it. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you the downside.
Oh, no, never, never.
So now
yeah.
you have to sign up once you get 18. Go to the post office.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad they stopped that draft.
For now.
Yes,
you
right.
Don't know what's gonna happen
absolutely.
After this next election.
Absolutely, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. You're right. Because we're losing people, like I said, almost every hour, every 65 minutes. Sound like an hour
yeah.
to me. Every day.
Yeah.
That's horrible. That's really horrible.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Miss Jenny White.
Well, I thank you. I thank you, Miss Lucy, for calling and sharing. Yes, thank you for calling and sharing. It is something to think about. We just have to pray for our military persons.
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
You know, the NFL sent a group of veterans to D.C., and a lot of them went to the Vietnam Wall and, you know, different
yeah,
places.
Yeah, the wall.
Yeah, and they were crying and everything. So, you know, it's
uh-huh.
it's hard. It's hard. And then
very
you come
so.
Back and your family has to deal with that. So, anyway, well, I thank you for being
thank you.
So knowledgeable.
Thanks very
and
much. I don't know about all that knowledge, but it makes you wonder.
Yeah, it
does.
What, it, so we just have
there
to
there is a
pray.
Cause here. There is a definite cause that
yes.
we have to should be concerned about. Not only for them, but for the safety and for the strength of our country.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
That's a good one, yeah.
And what I'm going to leave my listeners with is if you get sad because life is hard, read your book. That's the Bible. It'll
That's
make
it.
You feel better. It'll make you feel better. If you feel that life is good, read the book. It will enhance your joy. So either way you go, up or down, just read the book. That's one
Amen.
Hope you don't have to worry about. Okay, well, thank you, darling. And those of you that decided to listen and didn't want to make a comment or ask a question, I appreciate you too. Okay, and until next time, this is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show saying good night. Enjoy your weekend.